Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together with Naturally 7 and Let It Be.
Lord, I pray for this day we come together, that our hearts and our minds be like you. And I pray that our lives will be better. Stay until the things that could have to choose. Lord, I pray that these words we are saying will be good and blessed from us.
To applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so to just let it be, to consciously choose to come into communion as we link hearts and minds across the airwaves. We know that we are connected and connecting to not only each other, but the omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent that is the holy of holies, the sacred, the divine, the absolute mystery, that which we refer to as our beloved Mother, Father, God. And we're doing this not for God's benefit. God is all in all. Nothing can be added or taken away. But we do it for our benefit. The time we take to affirm, to pray, to meditate, to just consciously connect, renews, restores, refreshes, realigns us with the truth that we too often forget or we think we're too busy to be bothered with. But for the decades I have been on this journey, the one thing that I know is unchanging and unchangeable, that I can never or should never be too busy to take time out to connect to the sacred. It allows me to remember the truth of who I am. Because when life starts hitting us with all of its stuff as it does, it can be all too easy to be distracted with whatever it is that's confronting us at that moment, that we forget to connect to the divine who has all answers, who is all wisdom, who is all knowing. We forget that we have something greater in us that we can connect to than the distractions that are in the world. We forget that we are one with the infinite source of all that is. And as we connect with it, we can experience peace, transcendence, awareness, acceptance. So my beloveds, welcome to our Sunday Soul Connection. And as we continue with our studying of the various archetypes, as I was sharing with someone in this week that's gone past, was repair and renew, and so I went to a embroidery class. And I know why I don't do embroidery. My hands are too hot and sweaty that it just makes a mess of everything. But as always, I follow through when Spirit guides me to do something. And I realized that I wasn't there so much for the embroidery, but as to a particular person who I could only describe was grilling me about what I do, what I believe, and the meaning of the universe. And I explained to her that there is a difference between religiosity and spirituality, and that what I'm interested in promoting in how do we become more aware and a more connected human being. And to do so, you can't just think about the doctrines and theologies that are man-made. If we are truly to turn up in this world as expressions of the divine, we have to do the work on ourselves, which requires more than just praying and fasting. It requires we have an understanding of all the psychological aspects that make up our nature, because we are just not a mental or physical human being. There's so much more to us. And as we understand, we can then look to adjust and make the minor amendments to ourself, to our character, to our spirit, so that we can be the expressions of the divine that we were created to be. So as we have been studying these archetypes, understanding, becoming conscious of what motivates us, what allows us to drive our behaviors, and not only seeing it in ourselves, seeing it in others, it allows us to become more conscious so that we are no longer allowing them to control us, but we can be more cognizant of controlling and understanding them. And so this week we're looking at the archetype of the sage. It is said that the sage is responsible for the cultivation of two vital elements, your cognitive consciousness and your moral refinement. And both of these elements are essential for our psychological development. We see the sage archetype is expressed in many traditions, whether it's referred to as spirit or the self or Atman or God in us. There are some definitive and positive character traits that is within the sage archetype. The sage archetype, which is also known as the expert, guru, or the philosopher, the contemplative, the mentor, the teacher, the investigator, the analyst. The traits are you want to develop and understand knowledge and experience it at the highest level, to use contemplation and thinking to get clarity, to share your wisdom, your understanding with others, to research and investigate and gather information, to synthesize the things that you're learning and make them make sense. You see, every single one of us has the aspects of the sage archetype within. And it certainly is not about age. I'm sure some of you have seen some of the posts that have gone around Instagram and Facebook with six-year-olds and seven-year-olds telling you to be at peace and listing why it's important. Already these youngsters have embraced their sage archetype. But these character traits helps us to become more determined, more loving, more caring, less corruptible. It helps us be insightful when we are caught up in difficult situations or conditions. It allows us to practice more patience and be more rational. When you think of sages, it's very easy to think of sages of the past, like Teresa and Teresa of Avila, or Kuan Yin, or Sophia, or Fatima, or any of the other wonderful mystics. But you've got youngsters like Marla Yousafzai, the youngest person to ever receive the Nobel Peace Prize, because she was just 11 years old in 2009 when she wrote a blog post about living as a girl under Taliban occupation and her passionate desire to be able to go to school and how important she felt that girls in Pakistan should have the chance to learn. And then in 2012, she was shot as she was riding home on a bus after taking an exam. She was punished for just wanting to be or to have the opportunity to learn, to be educated. She was just a teenager. But yet, she had already embodied the awareness, the understanding of a sage archetype. And then we can think about, many of us I'm sure remember, Elizabeth Gilbert, who wrote about her emotional explorations in her book, and later it was made into a film, Eat, Pray, Love. And again, that was her tapping into her sage archetype to share with others her insights that she had learned along the way. We have Rachel Carson, who was instrumental in the birth of American environmentalism. And in the Harper's Bazaar, Diane Vreeland, who forced women to think differently about fashion. And the amazing Julia Child, and there's a fabulous series on Atlantic about her, who forced women to think differently about cooking. We've got Brené Brown, who we're all familiar with her work on shaming and vulnerability. Here, another expression, what a sage looks like. And Neil deGrasse Tyson, one of my favorites, is an astrophysicist and scientist who's committed to educating the public on scientific matters. I saw something with him on Instagram the other day, which I shared with some vegan friends, and he said that vegans don't eat milk, they don't drink milk or anything dairy, or they don't eat honey. But these are the only two things in nature which are produced without anything having to be killed or die. I thought that was fascinating, as I've never thought of that in those respects. And then there's Esther Perel, who's a therapist and author who shared her insights about human relationships. We can see from those examples that the sage archetype is and have been around since the dawn of time. And when you want to think of fiction, you can think of Obi-Wan Kenobi in Star Wars, or Gandalf in The Lord of the Rings, or even Morpheus in The Matrix. Or if you're like me, an Arthurian, you can think of Merlin, who is one of the most, I guess, proficient sage-like examples we can think of in fiction. The sage qualities of wanting to learn, wanting to understand, wanting to share the wisdom also has its shadow side. They can be so focused on being a perfectionist that they don't suffer fools gladly. They can sometimes have this feeling of being superior because they value wisdom and they think they are wise. This can lead them to being arrogant and closed-minded and being irrational when it comes to feelings. They can be seen as being cold and aloof. And some sage types kind of have ivory tower thinking, or they're dogmatic in their beliefs and lack feeling and empathy. Because the sage is associated with cognition, there's also self-deception that can exist in the shadow. They can be detached and manipulative. They can be delusional and deviant. You see, when we think again about branding when it comes to sage, because in every archetype, there are going to be brands and companies that are going to push that particular archetype in order to present themselves. And so you have things like Harvard, which is devoted to excellence in teaching and learning and research. And then you have the TED Talks, who about sharing knowledge and sharing wisdom from inspired thinkers, and they have a community of curious people that want to engage with different ideas, both in the studio and online. So we can see the sage archetype has been around and will continue to be around for the entire time of consciousness. We can embrace our sage archetype and allowing it to be a valuable guide and mentor. It's almost like we are inviting the spirit of God in us, that wisdom, that infinite sage, to inspire us with the wisdom, with the understanding, so that we can navigate life's challenges, its hills, its mountains, its valleys. This sage archetype is a powerful symbol of wisdom and guidance. And whilst we are always going to be facing challenges, whilst we are trying to discern truth and get awareness and get understanding, when we get those insights and perspectives, they can be invaluable in helping us navigate life's paths, life's ups and downs. As we embrace our sage archetype, it's a journey of self-discovery. It's that opportunity to recognize that we have the wisdom within us. Sometimes people are too ready to go and seek answers to whatever is confronting them with friends or whatever. Rather than going within, accessing their sage archetype, which is connecting to the spirit of God in them for their answers, for their direction, for their guidance. As we learn to embrace our sage archetype, we can learn, we can be curious, we can be open and ready to explore our own unique insights and wisdom and share it with the world. My story that I want to share, when I got into New Thought thinking some 40 plus years ago, one of the first authors I came across was Florence Scovel Shinn. I have her books both physically and on my Kindle. I think there are always going to be books that you never want to give up. And I've always said that if I was stuck on a desert island and only allowed 3 or 4 books, one of them would definitely be hers. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with Florence Scovel Shinn. She was born in 1871 in New Jersey. She was an American artist and a book illustrator who became a New Thought spiritual teacher and a metaphysical writer in her middle years. She's best known for her first book, The Game of Life and How to Play It, which was issued in 1925. Shinn expressed her philosophy as the invisible forces that are ever working for man, who is always pulling the strings himself, though he does not know it. Owing to the vibratory power of words, whatever man voices, he begins to attract. Florence Scovel was born in New Jersey, the daughter of Alden Cortland Scovel and Emily Hopkinson Scovel. She was educated in Philadelphia, where she attended the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts, and there she met her future husband, the artist Everett Shin. After marriage, they moved into a studio apartment at 112 Waverly Place, New York. Everett built a theater next door and wrote three plays in which Florence played a leading role. Everett Shin became known as a member of the Ashcan School of Art, and Florence worked as an illustrator. They were divorced in 1912. Her metaphysical work began with her self-published The Game of Life and How to Play It in 1925. Your Word is Your Wand was published in 1928, and The Secret Door to Success in 1940. The Game of Life and How to Play It includes quotes from the Bibles and anecdotal explanations of the author's understanding of God and man. Her philosophy centers on the power of positive thought and usually includes instructions for verbal or physical affirmation. A typical Scovel Shin piece of advice would be, it is safe to say that all sickness and unhappiness come from the violation of the law of love. A new commandment I give unto you, love one another. And in the game of life, love or goodwill takes every trick. Her advice is usually accompanied by a real-life anecdote, as for the above love one another advice. A woman I know had for years an appearance of a terrible skin disease. The doctors told her it was incurable and she was in despair. She was on the stage and feared she would soon have to give up her profession, and she had no other means of support. She, however, procured a good engagement and on the opening night made a great hit. She received flattering notices from the critics and was joyful and elated. The next day she received a notice of dismissal. A man in the cast had been jealous of her success and had caused her to be sent away. She felt hatred and resentment taking complete possession of her, and she cried out, "Oh God, let me hate that man." That night she worked for hours in the silence. She said, "I soon came into a very deep silence. I seemed to be at peace with myself, with the man, and with the whole world. I continued this for two following nights, and on the third day, I found I was completely healed of the skin disease." In asking for love or goodwill, she had fulfilled the law, for love is the fulfilling of the law, and the disease, which came from the subconscious resentment, was wiped out. I love, love, love Florence Scovel Shin. And if you haven't read The Game of Life, I can completely recommend it. It is antiquated now when you think that it was published back in 1925. But the principles and the law that she promotes are still relevant. She knew from back then, truth is truth, and from the teachings of Jesus, that we are justified by our words and by our thoughts, and we are condemned by our words and by our thoughts. You know, if you're speaking to me and you say something, I am going to correct it. Unless I feel, there's no point. I recognize the power, and I have been emphatic over the years of doing Sunday Soul to remind you that your words and your thoughts have power to create. The universe is not discerning or deciding that what you are affirming, i.e. what you are speaking or thinking about yourself, isn't the truth. It only says yes, and so it is. So if you are thinking and affirming that I am broke, I am fed up, I am whatever, yes, and so it is. So, my beloved, engage the sage archetype to know whether you are in alignment in your thoughts and your words and your beliefs in what you want for yourself, for your life, for your friends, for your loved ones. And so, as it's Women's Month, my emphasis is going to be on women. And so I want to share with you something from Rabia, who was a 8th century mystic and sage from Iraq, entitled Jealous of a Pond. And this is a transliteration from Daniel Ladinsky's, from my favorite poems, Love Poems from God. When God said, "My hands are yours," I saw that I could heal any creature in the world. I saw that the divine beauty in each heart is the root of all time and space. I was once a sleeping ocean, and in a dream became jealous of a pond. A penny can be eyed in the street, and a war can break out over it amongst the poor. Until we know that God lives in us, and we can see him there, a great poverty we suffer. My sacred text, the Dhammapada 25, says, by sustained effort, earnestness, discipline, and self-control, let the wise man make for himself an island which no flood can overwhelm. Lao Tzu says, the sage does not hoard. The more he helps others, the more he benefits himself. The more he gives to others, he gets himself. The way of heaven does one good, but never does one harm. The way of the sage is to act, but not to compete. The sage expects no recognition for what he does. He achieves merit, but does not take it to himself. He does not wish to display his wealth. And from 1 Timothy 4:7 to 8, train yourself in godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. My science of mind reading is entitled A Lofty and Sacred Purpose. The first quote is from Maya Angelou. If you are always trying to be normal, you will never know how amazing you can be. Ernest Holmes, The Science of Mind, says, the eyes brighten with friendliness and good cheer when animated by the light of love, joy, faith, or noble purpose. The author writes, what do you want to be when you grow up? I thought I wanted to be an award-winning actor, journalist, zoologist, history teacher, bookstore owner, and rock star. But I think we should stop asking young people this ridiculous question. Don't get me wrong. There are certainly people who just know what they want and go on to achieve it. For the rest of us, the power of decision takes on a winding road. All this focus on striving and achieving can get us off course of the life we were meant for. There have been days in my life when just getting out of bed in the morning was my greatest accomplishment. Ernest Holmes wrote, any thought or belief which we would seek to separate that which I am from that which you would be an illusion, no matter how lofty or sacred its purpose. If asked this today, I would say that when I grow up, I want to be happy, living an authentic life, determined to be peaceful, loving presence for the world around me. It's the purpose that motivates me. I recognize the noble purpose in being present for the moment. I am in an attentive relationship with the living presence of spirit. The lofty, sacred purpose, the lofty sacred purpose before each of us is to be present for the moment before us and shine a light on the illusion that we are separate from one another or separate from spirit. The gift you give the world today is your authentic and magnificent self. I love that little piece of sage wisdom in that last paragraph. The lofty sacred purpose before each of us is to be present for the moment. Not be concerned in the past or worrying about the future, but just being present in that moment and shining the light and any sort of separation between each other and between God. And just be your most authentic and magnificent self. And so, my beloved, if you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes as we go within for our reflective, affirmative meditation by Reverend Karen Wilson, entitled Playing with Life. And as always, we bring our attention to the breath, the gentle inhalation and exhalation, the ebbing and the flow, the contraction and the expansion. I like to remind you weekly of the words of Job, simply because it is one of the greatest affirmations we can make for ourselves about ourselves. It is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life. So as we take this next 3 deep breaths in, be truly conscious that you are breathing in the breath of Spirit, the breath of life, the breath of the Creator. Inhale, lower the diaphragm, extend the stomach, and take in that energizing, renewing breath of God. Hold. Gently, slowly. Inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly, please. For the third and final time, inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly. Affirm. Today, I know the energy that is life itself, infuses everything. It is the ebb and flow, the up and down, the whirl, the swirl, and the twirl. This undulating energy, that is God, that is Atman, the spiritual principle of life itself, is alive within and around me. Given this truth, I know I am dancing with the divine. I live my life out loud, filled with confidence and conviction that my playfulness of spirit is this life force expressed and apparent to all. As I embrace my awareness of this life force, I hear and experience play everywhere. From the sound of a giggling baby to the bubbling cheerfulness of a fresh brook celebrating spring. Today, I embrace the lightness of my heart. I know with each breath comes a new beginning, and I give myself fully to the moment, laughing at the simplicity of life itself. I know without question that as I am playful, life responds in accordance, answering my call, echoing this energy of love right back to me. Today, I bring the energy of childlike innocence to everything I do. I let go of preconceptions and simply experience life with confidence of a full and positive outcome. I embrace each challenge with joy, knowing that whatever comes to me is nothing more than a new step. I give myself the gift of flexibility, knowing as I waltz and swing with life, each turn, each twist is a call for a new beginning. I face life head on, confident that as I laugh, the world laughs with me. In so doing, my smile is heartfelt, glowing from the power of my inner being. My activity twinkles with the delight of curiosity. My interactions with others expand my sense of well-being as I embrace and infuse everything I undertake, whether my work, my relationships, even my spiritual practice, with my unique expression of childlike enthusiasm. I let go of the belief that to be good, to be proficient, requires a serious approach. Instead, I smile broadly and laugh unabashed, like a child who knows nothing of hesitation. I take life as it comes, and in doing so, my day is full from morning to night, with a heart in harmony with the sound of joy. I am so grateful this energy resides within me, grateful to know I consciously choose to live my life in play. Spirit is alive within me, and there is nothing I need do but allow it all to unfurl into its inherent magnificence. And so it is. Take a deep breath as you allow that beautiful affirmative meditation by Reverend Karen to resound within your being. And as we enter into our circle of prayer, as always, the invitation is to include anything or anyone that is in need of prayer at this time. Any friends or family of the loved ones. We know that God is the infinite intelligence, the creative spirit, the healer that is everywhere present at every point in space and time. We know and we hold to the truth that there is nowhere where God is not. And whilst we may be tempted to worry or fret or be anxious, when we come back to this remembrance, come back to this truth, that the divine, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent spirit of God is right where that person is, right where that situation, condition, or experience is, we come back to our peace. As we connect with the sage archetype within us, that wisdom, that understanding, that truth, that learning, we know that it is the spirit of God expressing in and through us. Mother, Father, God, as we embrace, embody, and align with the sage archetype within, we know we are embodying and expressing that divine intuitive wisdom that is right where we are. As we work on ourselves to embrace both the light and the shadow, both the positive and the constructive, as well as the negative, that resides in each archetype, each of these energetic, psychological ways of being that we have been looking at. Let us recognize when we are being motivated by either the higher or lower aspect of that archetype. Let us seek to work to express and embody both the positive and transmute the negative or the destructive, so that we are truly embodying and expressing the spirit of the living God. Our teacher said that we were to be perfect as you were perfect. And whilst we are here in human form striving to express that perfection which is love, let us do the work that is necessary on ourselves so we can truly embody and express our higher self, our God self. Mother, Father, God, there is so much that is happening in our world. There is so much that is going on that is not enough words to even give expression to all the healing that is needed. But it is indeed healing that we are seeking this morning, healing in our bodies, in our minds, in our spirits, healing for our family, our friends, our loved ones, our communities, healing for our nations, healing for this planet, healing for every sentient being, two-legged, four-legged, winged, finned, and hoof, healing for the collective consciousness as well as the individual consciousness of humanity, healing for anything and everything that I may have failed to ask, but you know needs healing. Mother, Father, God, as we align with you this morning, as we consciously open our hearts to you this morning, fill us full with your love, with your peace, with your understanding, with your wisdom. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, we are ever, ever grateful. And so it is. So it is. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as I mute the phones this morning. As it seems to happen when I'm doing the archetypes, we are overrunning. So we will just do one affirmation and one Buddhist meditation this morning. Science of Mind affirmation, if you repeat after me, I listen
I listen
to the God voice,
inside me,
cheering me on to my highest expression.
I fulfill
my noble purpose.
My noble purpose
through loving acts and joyful thinking. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be free.
May my friends be happy.
May they be peaceful. May they be free. May those that challenge me be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
A rumination for this week, Rumi says, "You are the comfort of my soul. You are the wealth of my spirit." So my closing benediction as we continue with Lent. Whatever wilderness the Spirit has brought you to, walk in boldness as a beloved child of God. Walk in peace under the shelter of the Most High. Walk in faith, knowing Christ walks with you at Lent and throughout. So it is. So my closing song is from Keith and Kristen Getty, entitled "The Perfect Wisdom of God." Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bear with me as we seem to be having a technical trouble.
Grant me wisdom from above to
Kristen Getty, The Perfect Wisdom of God. My beloveds, I wish you a very blessed and happy Sunday and a glorious week to come. And I look forward to joining you next week for Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. Peace and blessings.